and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Susan Dennehy. This week we are talking about whistleblowing. We'll begin by a reminder about what is a whistleblowing complaint and who can and can't bring a complaint. We will also take a look at the latest developments. I am delighted this week to be joined by our new employment law editor, Chen Mu. A very warm welcome to you, Chen.
Thanks, Sue. It's great to be here.
To start with then, Chen, can you explain what a whistleblowing complaint is?
Sure. So whistleblowing is an informal term used to describe a disclosure made by a worker to someone in authority with information that shows particular types of wrongdoing, which are set out in the legislation.
And can you remind us what some of those types of wrongdoing are?
There are six types of wrongdoing in the legislation, but the most common types of complaints an employer is likely to encounter include a criminal offense being committed, a failure to comply with health and safety duties, or a failure to comply with other legal obligations.
And when will a complaint be protected under the whistleblowing legislation?
So there are two stages for a protected disclosure. First, an employee makes what is known as a qualifying disclosure. And second, they make the disclosure to the right person. Then, the worker is protected from detrimental treatment, such as disciplinary action, poor appraisals, and demotion or dismissal as a result of their disclosure.
And can anyone make a whistleblowing complaint?
Not quite. Most staff will be able to raise a protected disclosure, but the exceptions are the genuinely self-employed, volunteers, job applicants, although this is going to change soon for NHS applicants, or others such as the Secret Services and the Armed Forces. Complaints made to a former employer are also protected.
So how does an employer know if they've received a whistleblowing complaint rather than just a grievance?
The worker has to disclose information, and that information has to show a particular type of wrongdoing, for example, from one of the categories we mentioned earlier. Also, it has to be in the public interest in the reasonable belief of the worker. This is supposed to ensure that the protections are not just for selfish concerns, such as an individual breach of contract. The protections are really meant to cover broader issues or those affecting a group of people or section of the public.
Now, a new requirement came in 2013 that the disclosure had to be in the public interest. What's the guidance been so far on this?
Right. So the requirement was brought in, but the trend seems to be that the EAT is reluctant to apply the requirement very strictly. There have been a couple of cases, Chesterton's and Nur Mohammed, and Morgan and the Royal Mencap Society, but these are still making their way through the courts and tribunals.
What type of information does the worker have to disclose for it to be protected as a protected disclosure? There have been some recent developments in this area as well, haven't there? Can you tell us what's the latest?
Initially, the EAT case of Gadald established that a disclosure had to include specific facts showing wrongdoing rather than just making allegations. So, for example, an employee couldn't just complain that they knew of a health and safety duty being breached. They would have to include information such as dates, locations, individuals involved, or acts committed that showed wrongdoing. Recently, the EAT in Kilrain and London Borough of Wandsworth advised caution in categorizing a disclosure as information versus allegation. The EAT said that in practice, information and allegations are often intertwined. In Kilrain, they found that complaining of numerous incidents of inappropriate behavior without setting out any facts did not have enough information showing wrongdoing that would give workers whistleblowing protection. It was far too vague.
Okay, so that's the first stage. What about the second stage then regarding the type of authority to whom the disclosure must be made? There are very strict rules about this too, aren't there?
Yes. So there are a couple of individuals or organizations that workers can make a disclosure to. Specifically, their employer, or if the employer is not responsible to the person they think is responsible for the wrongdoing, or to certain external persons or bodies, for example, a legal advisor, a regulator like the FCA, or the police.
And what about a worker that bypasses their employer and decides to go straight to the press with the information? Are they protected?
So only in limited circumstances can workers go to the press and still be covered by the whistleblowing protections. For example, the workers believe that they might suffer detriment if they make the report to their employers, or the workers have already made a complaint with the same information to their employer. Even in these circumstances, additional requirements have to be met. The workers have to believe that the disclosure is true. There must be no personal gain involved in making the disclosure. And it has to be reasonable to take the action given the situation the workers are facing.
So it's a higher test. Have you got any examples of where this has happened?
Yes. So in Nyester and Threshold Housing Link, two employees spoke to the press about allegations of corruption at their workplace. In one instance, the workers complained to their employers of a cash gift to a management member. The employer conducted a full investigation and then told the employees that they could raise additional concerns or go to the police. But the employees were dissatisfied with the investigation result and went to the press instead. The tribunal found that in these circumstances, it was not reasonable for the workers to go to the press, so they weren't covered by the whistleblowing protections.
Very interesting. Can we move on now, Chen, and look at what developments there are in the pipeline?
So there are quite a few important changes coming. In addition to the anticipated protection for whistleblower job applicants to the NHS, the NHS has published a mandatory national whistleblowing policy that must be adopted by all NHS organizations in England by the 31st of March 2017. Also, FCA-regulated entities should be aware of new requirements for many firms and institutions to appoint a whistleblowing champion and to create a whistleblowing process. There's also going to be a requirement for bodies on the prescribed list to report annually on whistleblowing, including on the number of complaints they receive. Organizations on the prescribed list are bodies such as the FCA, the Comptroller and the Auditor General, and the Independent Police Complaints Commission.
And before we finish, have we got any final advice for employers?
Yes, so it's definitely important to have a whistleblowing policy in place. A function of a whistleblowing policy is to be an early detection mechanism that allows workers to report internally any suspected wrongdoing in the workplace. Additionally, as we discussed earlier, a whistleblowing policy provides a means for dealing with workplace concerns other than individual employment concerns. If employees have concerns about their own employment contract, they should use the grievance procedure.
And where can listeners go for more information if they want to know more, including about the new developments you just mentioned?
Well, we have a full whistleblowing policy on the policies and documents section of our site. For ongoing developments, we're expecting a consultation on protections for NHS worker job applicants. So check the consultation section of the site for those. The financial services section of the Employment Law Manual has been updated to take into account changes to FCA entities. And finally, we're expecting regulations on the annual reporting requirements for prescribed bodies, so keep an eye on the legal timetable as well.
Thank you very much for that, Chen. That's it for this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Susan Dennehy. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.